Welcome back to our very own official from the Vatican Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, Monsignor John Kennedy.
Hello, Emer. Great to see you.
Great to see you too, Monsignor Kennedy. And this week on Questions of Faith, we're going to look at a question that I'm personally also very interested in because it's something I encountered quite late in my Christian life, and that is divine office. I'd always heard about it, but I never really understood what exactly it referred to. And I never really understood until quite late in life that we're speaking about how we pray during the day. So, question number one, what is divine office?
Well, your experience chimes with a lot of others, and perhaps like lots of our listeners out there, I remember hearing this word for the first time only when I went into the seminary. And I recall being a little perplexed as to what these two words would mean when they were put together. We know what divine means, for instance, and the concept of an office is very familiar too. But what do you mean when you put one word in front of the other? Divine office. I discovered very quickly that the divine office, or in Latin, the officium divinum, is also known as, and possibly better explained as, the liturgy of the hours. In Latin, liturgia orarum. The hours in this description, of course, refers to the hours of each day. And the word liturgy, which comes from an ancient Greek term, liturgia, from two words really, light and laos, that part of the word means people. And the other part is urgos, or ergon, and that means work. And interestingly, that's where you get the word ergodynamic, ergonomics. So liturgy is, in fact, a way of describing prayer as the work of the people. In short, then, the Liturgy of the Hours refers to the official set of daily prayers prescribed by the Catholic Church, principally for priests and religious. These prayers are divided into, you could say, bite-sized pieces, and each of the hours marks various times of the day. So that's the divine bit. Let's look at the word office. While the prayers are of their nature public, because they are prayed for by many thousands of priests and religious, we don't often, as Catholics, see the priests and religious praying them in our churches and in our chapels. However, the public character is also underlined by the fact that these prayers are offered each day for the entire church, even if only one person is reciting them. It is, you could say, like seeing the parish priest or the religious sister with the divine office and knowing that here's one man or one woman praying for everybody in the church. And just one more thought on this. We have another indication that the notion of an office reminds us of something public. Some of us remember, perhaps as children, seeing a priest carrying around a prayer book, often covered in a black leather cover, as he walked around the street. There was a good reason for this. To give us an added insight into the divine office, it can be helpful to remember that these prayers, together with the celebration of the Mass, of course, another public celebration, both of these things constitute the official and public prayer life of the Church.
But can only priests and religious pray the divine office, or is it open to other people? Is it exclusive to the consecrated and ordained?
No, is the short answer. It may come as a surprise to many of us, and particularly our listeners out there, to know that it's not just clergy and religious who pray the divine office, but also many members of the laity can pray it and do pray it as well. While training in the seminary, we weren't clerics until we were ordained deacons, but we were obliged, for instance, to pray certain hours of the divine office, each of which, in fact, has its own particular name. So, for instance, we prayed three of the hours in common. The first was morning prayer, then evening prayer, and then before sleeping, night prayer. Upon ordination to the diaconate, the daily recitation or the praying of the Liturgy of the Hours becomes for us what's called a canonical obligation. In other words, it becomes a responsibility that priests and deacons take on as part of their new commitment, as part of their new way of life, you could say. This also involved praying another element of the Liturgy of the Hours, which is called the Office of Readings, and one of the smaller hours, which we'll get to in a moment. I said a while ago that we don't see the office being prayed publicly, but perhaps some of us have this experience of this form of prayer, particularly if we visited a monastery where the Divine Office, which is often chanted or sung, forms a key element of the prayer life of the monks. If you're in Rome and you're on the Aventine Hill, for example, you might be familiar with the monastery there called San Anselmo. It's a Benedictine monastery, and the religious community there, as well as the church on the Trinità dei Monti, which is the church at the very top of the Spanish Steps, just to mention two communities, both of these communities pray certain hours of the Divine Office, the Liturgy of the Hours, publicly, and people are free to go and join them. So perhaps if you're next in the city of Rome or in any other religious city, you could check out on the internet when the office is prayed and go and see it for yourself.
Some divine prayer in the Eternal City.
Some divine inspiration even.
Liturgy of the Hours is the same then as another word that we often come across that perhaps we don't truly understand, that being the breviary.
It is. Another related word describing the Liturgy of the Hours or the Divine Office is the breviary, because this is in fact the book that contains the prayers. The word breviary means short or concise. It comes from the Latin word brevis, and it describes the liturgical book, which is about the same size as a Bible, which contains the prayers to be said at various hours.
Okay, so far you've explained to us where the word Divine Office comes from, or Liturgy of the Hours, who prays it and how it's praised, but what exactly is being prayed? What are the prayers of the Divine Office? Can you explain that to us? Or can priests or religious simply use their own prayers?
It's a really good question. Let me answer by saying that if you love someone, you think about them often, and you speak to that person every day, sometimes several times a day, if you can. To show our love for God, we not only think about him, but we also speak to him often in prayer. We communicate with him. We share with him the moments of our day. We, for instance, rejoice when things go well. Thank God that went well. And we often turn to God for help when things are difficult. You could say in a similar way that the Divine Office, with its various moments of praise and thanksgiving, its elements of supplication and intercession, in other words, this regular prayer cycle, is a way of punctuating our day, helping us then to pause and to remember God frequently. In many ways, just like your mobile phone has a battery that needs charging regularly, the Divine Office is a spiritual way of plugging our lives into God's divine life as we carry out our daily tasks with the passing of every hour. Prayer, our dialogue, our relationship with God gives us strength. As Pope Francis said recently, we're not Christian part-time, only at certain moments, in certain circumstances, in certain decisions. No one can be Christian in this way. We're Christian all the time. Totally. Then he says, may Christ's truth, which the Holy Spirit teaches us and gives to us, always and totally affect our daily life. Let us call on him more often so that he may guide us on the path of disciples of Christ. Let us call on him every day. I'm making the suggestion to you, he concludes. Let us invoke the Holy Spirit every day. In this way, the Holy Spirit will bring us close to Jesus Christ. Because then the breviary, as a means of leading us into closer relationship with Jesus Christ, gives us various opportunities each day to pause, the prayers are a means of creating a rhythm so that we might develop the habit of turning to prayer frequently, even when we may not be saying the breviary. So it's like prayer leading us to prayer. If you think about it in terms of nutrition for the body, very few of us eat and drink all that we need at one meal, and then fast for the rest of the day. In fact, our body would then fill up rather quickly, and it keeps asking us then for more food at various intervals. It's the same with prayer, and it's the same with praying the Divine Office, because this gives us the opportunity for constant nourishment from God in prayer from early morning to late at night. And just to give one final example, husbands and wives, in a similar way, they don't say all their I love yous at one time, but they intersperse their days and their lives with many and frequent gestures of love. The same can be said for parents and for their children. They give kisses all day to their children. This is what we do in prayer.
They've described what kind of prayer they are and where they come from, the idea behind the Liturgy of the Hours when we pray. But what type of prayer are they? I mean, textually, formatically, where are their origins?
It's a good question. The prayers consist primarily of psalms, along with hymns and then readings from Scripture. We know that the psalms, of course, are Old Testament songs of praise. They're inspired texts of thanksgiving, prayers of outreach to God in moments of sorrow, distress, and even desolation. If we look at the Bible, we'll see that there's a book called the Book of Psalms. This is where we get the psalms from. I read recently that people look into a mirror to see what they look like. In a similar way, we look into the psalms as Christians to see who we are. We, in this way, use the psalms to present ourselves before God. The psalms give us words, if you like, and prayer motifs, so we actually look at God as honestly and as thoroughly as we're able to. A mirror will show us, of course, exactly how we are, and the psalms also show us the shape of our spiritual lives and our souls. They, in many ways, reveal things to us, things that can sometimes remain hidden to the eye, aspects of our lives we need to focus on and perhaps even change if we're going to become more like the people God is calling us to be. People have said often that a song was very meaningful in their lives, and they can remember even the time and the place of where they are when they heard the music and the words. Couples will often choose a significant song for their first dance at their wedding reception. In fact, the word psalm is derived from the Greek psalmoi, and this perhaps originally meant music of the lyre or songs sung to a harp. It later became to mean any piece of music. I never saw a lyre, but I know that it is a stringed instrument known for its use in Greece. An early picture of a lyre that I saw on the internet shows that it has 7 strings. Interestingly, that the church also has prayers for each of the 7 hours of every day. But let's go back to the psalm just to answer this question. The verb psalein is related to the word psalm, and it means to play upon a stringed instrument. So it really means to make music in any fashion. And we can say for sure that about the psalms that they're old songs. Dating of these individual songs is pretty difficult, in fact, and in some cases impossible. But many appear to have been written early in the history of ancient Israel. So we're talking about the first millennium BC or even earlier, while others have been written after the exile to Babylon when the people of Egypt were away from the Holy Land, which occurred in the 6th century BC.
BC being, of course, before Christ. So perhaps is reading the Psalms or singing the Psalms something that Jesus might have done growing up?
Absolutely. In fact, it's not just a guess. We know that Jesus himself knew and prayed the Psalms. Take, for instance, when he was on the cross, he called out to his Father in the words of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? We also have evidence then that not only Jesus, but the early Christian community continued this Jewish practice of reciting prayers like the Psalms, and also at certain times of the day and night. The Psalms, of course, contained inspired words and spiritual nourishment, not only for the Jews, but also for the early Christians. And in our contemporary world, the Psalms continue to lead us to a deeper sense of prayer and communion with God. Even single lines of the Psalms can become for us like a mantra or a phrase that we can repeat often as we wish, in fact, a phrase that will inspire us to a deeper love of God. Take a line, for example, as cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. If you thought about that and reflected on it, or strong is his love for us, he is faithful forever. So in the Psalms, for instance, we can find lots of other expressions which can help us as we begin our day. There's a line in the psalm which says, "In the morning I offer you my prayer." Or maybe at night time, there's another line which says, "At midnight I will rise and thank you." "Seven times a day I praise you" is another line that we find. So when we're praying, these lines of the psalm, as well as the other lines, seem to be so in touch with our human experience all the time, drawing us upwards, helping us to raise our minds and our hearts to God. And of course, isn't that the definition of what prayer is? Raising our minds and hearts to God. There's also a special connection in the Divine Office, not only to the psalms and to the prayers, but also to the timing of prayers, because we do exactly as our forefathers in the faith, the Jewish people, did. We're told in the Acts of the Apostles, in the New Testament, of course, that the early church observed the Jewish custom of praying at the third, sixth, and ninth hour, and at midnight. That's in the Acts chapter 10 and chapter 16. So it's clear then, for 2,000 years of the cycle of Christianity, our daily prayer, as derived from the Jewish customs of prayer, continues. Where? In the Divine Office, with other elements being added later in the course of the centuries.
So to put it very simply, we Christians also have our own form of daily prayer. It's not just Muslims or Jews.
It's so true, and it's a very rich and beautiful resource that I'm really looking forward to speaking about the next time, because we're going to analyse the various different hours of prayer and show how, in many ways, accessible they are. People might be put off initially by thinking, oh, that's just for priests, that's just for nuns, I wouldn't be able to do that. But in fact, it is possible to integrate the office of some of the Divine Office into your life. If you're only praying it, say, once a week or twice a week, or even on Sundays, maybe as part of your preparation for Mass, or even as a special ceremony, maybe a big feast in the church, you might actually join the community for that. So it'll be a great opportunity for us next time to look at this and see how accessible and how beautiful it really is.
In fact, so next week we'll be looking at how we break down those seven moments of prayer throughout the day according to Divine Office. And any of our listeners or our Facebook followers out there who may have questions regarding the Liturgy of the Hours, please feel free to send them in to our very own Vatican official from the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, Monsignor John Kennedy, via email that's english@vatiradio.va, or by personal message on our Facebook page, that's Vatican Radio English Section Facebook page. Monsignor Kennedy, we look forward to speaking to you again.
I'll see you next time, Emer. God bless you.